This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor, C3 AI. C3 Generative AI enables rapid access to secure, traceable, hallucination-free insights from enterprise systems, all while using any LLM, helping enterprises turn the invisible into the obvious. Learn more at c3.ai.
Hey, What's News listeners. It's Sunday, April 28th. I'm Luke Vargas.
And I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is What's News Sunday, the show where we tackle the big questions about the biggest stories in the news. We reach out to our colleagues across the newsroom to help explain what's happening in our world.
This week, we'll look at the state of U.S.-China trade relations, with Washington and Beijing announcing trade restrictions on each other seemingly every week, from new U.S. tariffs on steel and aluminum to China ordering a phase-out of American chips. Is there any end in sight? There are few things that President Biden and Donald Trump have in common, but one of them is a desire to keep certain Chinese products out of the United States. While in office, Trump put in place broad tariffs on Chinese goods, 25% on steel and 10% on aluminum, and even though those remain in effect, President Biden doesn't want to stop there. Earlier this month, he called for additional tariffs on Chinese steel and aluminum products, and more such measures could be on the way.
Look, right now, my U.S. trade representative is investigating trade practices by the Chinese government regarding steel and aluminum. If that investigation confirms these anti-competitive trade practices, then I'm calling on her to consider tripling the tariff rates for both steel imports and aluminum imports from China.
Well, with Biden and Trump competing for the support of unions who favor such trade restrictions, it's creating an election year dynamic that our Journal Opinion section described as the race to be protectionist in chief. Meanwhile, in Beijing, a multi-year push to remove foreign suppliers from critical supply chains has lately expanded into the semiconductor and computer hardware sectors, leading companies like Microsoft and Dell to begin to lose their grip on the lucrative Chinese market. So how much worse will the U.S.-China trade relation get, and at what cost? Here with some answers, I'm joined by two Wall Street Journal colleagues. Reporter Andy Duren covers the Treasury Department and economic policy for us, and Lingling Wei is the Journal's chief China correspondent. Andy, I want to start with you. Lately, it has felt like kind of a steady stream of trade restrictions between the U.S. and China. Is there more coming from what you understand, and if so, do we know what?
So we're just getting started in terms of what the Biden administration could do this year on trade with China. There is an expectation that there will be a long-awaited resolution to a broader discussion of what to do about some of the tariffs that Trump put in place when he was in office, and the expectation is that many of them will be increased. So tariffs on Chinese electric vehicles, battery packs from China, solar components from China, all of these tariffs are expected to go up sometime this year, and it could be in the very near future.
And the U.S., Andy, is also concerned about Chinese products making their way into the U.S. via other countries like Mexico, right?
Yes, obviously the United States has a trade agreement with Mexico that reduces or gets rid of many tariffs. And so there's kind of open border trade there. And the concern is that China will either send things to Mexico or Chinese companies will send things to Mexico that then are reshipped into the United States, or that Chinese companies will set up factories and production hubs in Mexico and then have access to the U.S. market that way. And there's particular concern about, again, Chinese electric vehicles, and some of the big Chinese EV companies are looking at building factories in Mexico. And so this is something that the, you know, in Washington is being looked at in a few different ways, whether that's walking away from some elements of the trade agreement with Mexico or taking more creative steps to try and get at this underlying question of Chinese products coming into the U.S. via other third countries that are not China.
Lingling, we are evidently just getting started with all of this in the U.S. What are you hearing on the Chinese side? Should we be expecting Beijing to keep restricting access to the Chinese market for U.S. companies, maybe enacting tariffs of its own as well?
In Beijing, there are mainly two ways to respond to this kind of increased economic and trade sanctions coming out of the United States. One is retaliation. The second is so-called resilience. It really means China trying to build up its own technology and manufacturing sector so that it can better shield the Chinese economy from Western sanctions. In terms of retaliation, China is definitely getting their toolkit ready. We already have seen China hitting back at certain actions coming out of the Biden administration, including the most recent 301 investigation and the congressional effort, right, to get the TikTok bill passed. We have seen China telling Apple to remove certain very popular messaging apps from Apple Store in China, including WhatsApp. And China has increased levies on a key chemical product produced in the United States, so making it much harder for some U.S. companies to sell into China. One thing that the leadership is wary of is the cost to China itself. So it's not that easy. You have to consider what's the cost to China, especially at the time when the economy is cratering.
A cratering economy, how much of that is down to these trade frictions?
The trade fight between the U.S. and China really started during the Trump administration. If we recall, there's this huge tariff war between the U.S. and China. And that already had quite a big impact on China's economy. A lot of Chinese companies have to reduce their hiring. They have to reduce their R&D spending. They have to figure out ways to get around the U.S. tariffs. So they moved to Mexico, they moved to, you know, other countries. Overall, China's GDP loss was three times as high as the United States. That was their estimate from an economist named Yang Zhou. She's a Fudan University economist, and she did that research when she was a fellow at the University of Minnesota.
All right, so the trade war making things worse for China's struggling economy. We've got to take a short break, but when we come back, we'll look at what all of this means for the U.S. economy. Stick around.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI enables rapid access to secure, traceable, hallucination-free insights from enterprise systems, all while using any LLM, helping enterprises turn the invisible into the obvious. Learn more at c3.ai.
All right, Andy, let's look at some of the economic effects that this trade war is having on the United States now. I noticed a comment that we received from a journal subscriber who said that tariffs are feeding inflation and making things more expensive. Inflation, obviously, a sensitive topic in an election year, and yet the Biden administration seems pretty gung-ho on these measures. Is there any concern that they could be contributing to things being more expensive?
It's certainly possible. There is a lot of academic debate about just how serious of an input existing tariffs have been into inflation. In some instances, at least particularly with something like electric vehicles, there aren't actually very many Chinese electric vehicles sold in the United States. Existing tariffs have, for the most part, kept them out of the American market. And so in some cases, this is simply preventative measures that the Biden administration is taking, that they're trying to prevent these inexpensive Chinese goods from getting access to the U.S. market.
And Andy, what about businesses that are getting, for instance, raw materials from China? Business lobbies can be pretty influential ahead of elections and in addition to voters. Have they been weighing in on this?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's certainly a concern in the business community. And there are instances where you have to buy more expensive intermediate goods when you're producing things. But at the same time, there are some businesses who oppose that. And there are some businesses who suddenly their competitiveness as a supplier to these other businesses goes up when the Chinese products get more expensive. So the business community is not unified in some of these questions. And there are certainly business groups within the U.S. that push for higher tariffs.
I mean, it seems like neither side, the U.S. or China here, is signaling it's ready to say uncle. Are there red lines that either of you are seeing that we could be getting close to, at which point Washington or Beijing might decide it's now the time to start de-escalating the situation? Is that imaginable?
Obviously, there is a desire overall to contain some of these tensions to a reasonable degree and not have it spill out into, at least within the Biden administration, not have it spill out into a quote-unquote trade war like you saw under Trump. But that said, I mean, I think there's always possibility that the tit-for-tat retaliation escalates and that people start to take even more drastic measures. And then obviously, of course, Donald Trump, the leading Republican candidate for president, who put in place many tariffs to begin with, is on the campaign trail talking about how he would much more dramatically raise many of these tariffs on China. And so it's hard to see where things de-escalate, but at least right now in Washington, there's a desire not to let tensions get out of hand.
Lingling, it's further away for us. What is Xi Jinping feeling here? Is he under any sort of political pressure, as President Biden might be, constricting him in any way, maybe encouraging him to back away from further escalation here?
It's not likely at all that any kind of compromise in the cards for Xi Jinping. As Andy said, the Biden administration definitely has incentives to keep things stable. As they like to say, we manage the competition responsibly. For now, on China's part, the leadership also has reasons to try to keep things stable. The simple reason being the economy is not doing well. So they need to devote a lot of time and energy to deal with domestic issues. The real risk is next year after the U.S. election, right? Who's going to be in the White House going forward? And that would very much affect Chinese calculus.
Andy, I guess both sides saying they're going to try to prevent things from getting too out of hand. And yet, am I right that even figures like Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, who last year was very vocal in warning against a decoupling of the U.S. and Chinese economies, has become herself more hawkish lately? It can feel like that Xi-Biden summit last fall, when relations were starting to take a friendlier course, was a lifetime ago.
The way I think about someone like Janet Yellen's evolution on this issue is that it's a sign that the kind of consensus official thinking in Washington on both sides of the aisle, ranging from defense hawks at the Pentagon to people who are traditionally more dovish at the Treasury Department, there is an overall acceptance that the kind of free trade, open market approach to trade policy in general and to China in particular, is that era is over in Washington, that even the people who used to most vocally defend that idea, people like Janet Yellen, people who even promoted that idea like Janet Yellen, they no longer believe that and they're no longer forming policy with that in mind. Obviously, this is only to a certain extent. I mean, someone like Yellen and others in the Biden administration still overall see benefits from the massive economic relationship that the U.S. and China share. But there is a very different kind of tone, and there's an openness to steps like tariffs, steps like investment restrictions that even 10 years ago would not have been nearly as mainstream in Washington.
I've been speaking to Wall Street Journal reporter Andy Duren and Wall Street Journal chief China correspondent Lingling Wei. Andy, Lingling, thank you both so much. And that's it for What's News Sunday for April 28th. Today's show was produced by Charlotte Gartenberg, with supervising producer Sandra Kilhoff. And we had help from our deputy editors Scott Salloway and Chris Zinsley. I'm Luke Vargas, and we will be back tomorrow morning with a new show. Until then, thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI enables rapid access to secure, traceable, hallucination-free insights from enterprise systems, all while using any LLM, helping enterprises turn the invisible into the obvious. Learn more at c3.ai.